We can do two things. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think it's page 4 is where we'll be in our study, because we're under C, which is the whole issue there of God's going to, Jesus Christ will reward the believers, and we'll see how that fits together as we study it. So go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then also page 4 of your handout toward the middle of the page C, and that's where we're going to be. We're looking, of course, at some different truths about Jesus Christ's future ministry. And we said that there's a dual aspect. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come to the earth. He's coming in the clouds, and that's the rapture. He takes the church off the face of the earth, and he's going to come to the earth. That's his second coming as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I got the chart. We'll put that up in just a second to remind you. But this morning, we're going to, Lord willing, we'll finish this lesson as we look at the whole idea of rewards, and we'll see how that fits together. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. Most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ, and eternal life is a gift. And Lord, we thank you that you have shown us your grace to us, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. We thank you, Lord. It is your gift to us, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the privilege of telling other people this good news message. And so, Lord, we just ask you to use us to do that. Lord, we realize that the next event that could happen in any second is Jesus come in the clouds to take us off the face of the earth. Lord, we realize that this is the church age, and this is the time that we have to tell other people about Jesus. So may we do that. Thank you, Lord, for the truths that you have revealed to us in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You got the chart? Can we put the chart up? Okay, there's the chart as a whole, and I know you can't see it. It's on the very back page, but if we go over to this side, I think it's the next lesson. If you see the very first coming, I just want to remind you, there are two comings of Christ to the earth. The first coming, he comes to be a human being. He's born in Bethlehem. That's the Christmas story. That's what we're going to see pretty soon in just a couple of weeks or about a month. We're going to be having a great time as we re-celebrate the birth of our Savior. He came to the earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He was buried and he rose again. Then there's the second coming, which is the next life, which is when he comes to the earth. As the second coming of the earth, he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, comes to the earth, sets up a kingdom and rules for 1,000 years. That's the first coming, the second coming. Then we got another slide that shows in the middle of these two comings will be the rapture, in which Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, not to the earth, comes in the clouds. The dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. So that's the rapture, and we're taken off the face of the earth. Now, as far as the future ministry of Christ, we know that he's already come the first time. He's died on the cross, paid for sin, buried, raised again, and sent it back to heaven. So the next two events that are the future ministry that we think about. One is coming in the clouds, that's the rapture, and the other is coming to the earth, that's his second coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that's where we are. Now, in this lesson, this deals with his coming in the clouds. And there are three things that we said will happen when Jesus Christ comes to the clouds. And I think if you want to, you can go ahead and go. I think there's the slides. You may go back just a little bit. Okay, keep going. Okay, coming to the clouds, and the next one. Okay, in the rapture, coming in the clouds, there are three things. Number one is the believers will be raised and changed. That's going to happen. The dead in Christ rise first. We are allowed and made to be caught up together with them. Second thing we saw is that he's going to give new bodies to the saints. He's going to change this body into a glorious body like his. Now, this is where we are in the study. If you've got questions on end times, if you've got questions about the things we talk about, just raise your hand and we'll talk about it. But let me get into the reward part, and then if we have time, we'll do more on other questions as well. The third thing that we see, believers will be rewarded. Now, this is a great thing. The truth is that every one of us one day will stand before Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with sin or judgment. And this is the thing we have to recognize. And I'm going to give you some verses in a minute for us to look at, see how it fits together. This will be rewards. So the best that we can tell, when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds to get us, not only are people going to be raised from the dead and our bodies will be changed, not only will he give us these glorified bodies, but we will be rewarded. This is that third thing. And there's 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Romans chapter 14. You're at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look at this. Paul writes this, and here's what he says to all of us. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Any second, Jesus could begin his future ministry, and that would be coming in the clouds. The trump of God, the archangel shouts, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain be caught up together with him. Could happen any second. When that happens, best we can tell from Scripture, you at that time, because this is the body of Christ, we will stand before our Savior. Now, there are people who are afraid. You say, standing before God, one day all of us are going to give an account of ourselves to God. We're going to stand before God, and He's going to decide whether we go to hell or heaven. No. When you stand before God, the decision is not whether you're going to hell or heaven. That's already been decided. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. But when you stand before God, it's not a decision on whether you're going to hell or heaven. It has to do with rewards. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. In fact, let me give you a flow. Verse 6 says, we're always of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. So home in this body is to absent from the Lord. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Then he says, be of good courage, I say, rather to be absent from the body and be home with the Lord. You know, be with home with the Lord. Then he says, our ambition is to please him. And then verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to whether he has done, whether good or bad. And let me tell you, the Greek word for bad there literally means worthless. It's like rotten fruit. It's like something that you'd go, oh, no, that's not any good. Get rid of that. But we don't want that. That's what the word means. Let's talk about the verse because it's powerful. One of these days, each one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, you will stand before Jesus Christ. When you hear that, for many people, they're afraid. They go, oh, that's going to be the scariest time ever because he's going to bring up everything I've ever done. That's not even the question. Notice, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When you see the word judgment, it scares everybody. But the word judgment, it literally in the Greek, is B-E-M-A. It means the bema seat. That is the reward stand. It is a time that you will stand before Jesus Christ to be rewarded. Rewarded for how you have lived. Now remember, your salvation is based on faith in Christ. It's that simple. It's not your works, it's not your righteousness, it's not what you're going to do, not what you're promising to do. You are saved and saved eternally in an eternal relationship with Jesus simply by faith. But how you live as a believer, how you live on this earth, how you serve him, and that has a bearing on rewards. When you stand at the, because it calls it here, the judgment seat of Christ, it is really the reward seat of Christ. It is where he's going to reward us. Now look at the passage carefully. He says, for must all, each one of us, appear before the rewarding seat of Christ. So if you think that, I'm going to get two or three of my friends and they're going to go, you know, kind of vouch for me. It's just going to be you. And every one of us will stand before him. And notice what it says, that each one may be recompensed. The Greek word there means be given back. It's something that's going to be given to you. Given back to you. Let's say that you serve God and you live for God and you did something in the power of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, he's saying, I'm going to give back to you for what you did for me. It's a reward. You realize one day you'll stand before Jesus Christ in everything that you have ever done in the power of the Holy Spirit to live righteously and godly and to touch lives for Christ, whether it's a cup of cold water in his name, you will be rewarded. Now look at the verse because sometimes people get messed up. It says, for each one may be recompensed. This word means to be given back for his deeds in the body, the things that you've done in this life, in this body. Notice, according to what he has done, whether good or, and let's put good or worthless, that's the better way to look at it. See, there's some people say, oh, good or bad, all the bad things you have done will be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Where are all the bad things that you have done? Where are they? They're called sins, right? Where are your sins? They're placed on Christ. Christ said, I will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your sins no more. When you stand before Jesus Christ, he's not going to say, okay, remember when you were 18? You remember? You remember that time? I don't really remember that. Actually, when you stand before him, that one sin will be brought up. Because he's not dealing with your sins here. Your sins have already been dealt with. Where have your sins been placed? On Jesus Christ. For Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. He bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. So the sins that we have done are not in view at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a reward stand. Whether they are good or worthless. What's something good? Something good is when you did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do a good deed in the flesh. You can go, come here, little old lady. Let me help the little old lady cross the street. Everybody's seeing me. They're thinking I'm a great guy. This is a good deed. Yeah, it's a good deed. It's worthless. It's worthless. When you stand before Jesus Christ, I helped a little old lady across the street. That was a good deed, but it's worthless. Wasn't sin. It's not a sin to help a little, unless you're dragging her. Come on, get on her. You don't know you don't want to cross, but you're crossing. You know, that's probably wrong there. But anyway, that's been put on Christ. But this, recompense, yeah, I know, I can't help it. But did you want to go across the street or not? That's the question. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whether they're good or worthless. Now, let's see. Let's see what it's like. Let's see how he describes how he judges the things that we've done. Now remember, once again, put out of your mind this has anything to do with salvation, has anything to do with sin. It has to do with rewards. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just turn over there just quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul's going to talk about it. He's going to give us some details. And he's going to talk, and he's using this analogy by saying there is a foundation that you're building on. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and then you're building. And so the foundation is your faith in Christ. He's the Savior. And then he's pretending to say, now we're going to build a building, and how are you going to build the building? What kind of material will you use? Will it be good material like gold, silver, and precious stone? Will it be bad material like wood, hay, and straw? Watch what he says. Verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, he said, now you can build on it. Here's the key. Each man's work, deeds, will become evident. It's going to be clearly seen. How you live for Jesus Christ, now whether other people will be there or not, it doesn't even talk about this. It's talking about you and Christ, and for sure that your works will be evident, will be seen. What you did, how you lived, the things that we did in this body, whether good or worthless, will be seen. Notice what he says. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. What day? The day of the what? When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the day he's talking about. He says, for that day will show it because it is to be revealed. How? With fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. It's as if you're standing before God and all the things that you've done in his body, whether good or worthless, and it's like the good things, the things that you've done in the power of the Holy Spirit, are gold, silver, and precious stone, the things you've done in the flesh are wood, hay, and straw. And he says, I'm going to test it all by fire. What happens when you burn gold, silver, and precious stone? You still got gold, silver, and precious stone. What happens when you burn wood, hay, and straw? It's gone. He's using an analogy, and here's what he says. Every man's work becoming evident, for the day will show it because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive what? A reward. He's saying, here's the picture. You do things in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's tested. It remains. God says, I'm rewarding you for what you did for me. As 2 Corinthians says, you'll be recompensed, be given back. He goes on to say, now, if any man, verse 14 again, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Rewards, not loss of life, not loss of eternal life, not you won't get to go to heaven because you don't have any rewards. No. He says, if any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself, what? Will be saved, yet it's through the fire. There's going to come a time when you will stand before Jesus Christ and you will be recompensed at the Bema seat. You'll be recompensed for the things you've done in this body, whether they're good, gold, silver, precious stone, or worthless. Wood, hay, and straw. And God's going to use, and this is the analogy in this picture, whether it's actually going to be fire and it's going to be looking that way, I don't know. This is what he says, but it's going to be tested. And if it works, remains, you will receive a reward. Yeah, Steve.
When it says we'll suffer loss, that means we won't receive a reward for that because it was not a good work. Doesn't mean we'll suffer loss from other good works.
Right. If whatever reward, you will gain rewards from the things that remain. Meaning when you did the things that were the right way, the good way, in the power of the Holy Spirit, gold, silver, precious stone, you will be rewarded. Things that were done in the flesh, so to speak, or the things that were done, even a good deed that was done with the wrong motive or whatever, it'll be wood, hay, straw, it'll be gone. That's what you're losing. You said, don't I get something for helping somebody across the street? No, you don't. Let me ask you something. What did Jesus say that when somebody said, I'm going to give and everybody's going to see me give? And some of those rich people, they in the temple area, they had those trumpet, those places, and they would have people blow the trumpet and people look over at them and they'd put their money in. What did Jesus say? They already have their what? They have the reward. If you do something for people to see you do it, there's your reward. You may say, I'm getting up in heaven. No, you already got it here. Because it's wood, hay, and straw. It's gone. One more. I want you to look at Romans 14. Just go back a little bit more toward the front of your Bible to Romans 14. He says the same thing, same truth. He says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you regard your brother with contempt? He says, listen, here's the key. For we will all stand before the judgment bema. The bema seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, watch, here's the key. Each one of us, and he has that individually there, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. An account. An accounting. You'll stand before the bema seat. You'll be rewarded. You'll give an accounting for how you've done things and what you've done in this body, whether it's good or worthless, whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw. You're going to stand before him. So every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, when he comes as the King, and when he comes in the clouds, takes us off the face of the earth, and we go before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be rewarded. Now, some people, let me ask you something. Some people who have not lived for Jesus Christ. Do you know Christians who don't live for Christ? Do you? Yeah. People who put their faith in Christ and then they don't serve him. They don't live for him. What's it going to be like when they stand before Jesus Christ? In fact, 1 John says they will be ashamed at his coming. Ashamed for what? That they didn't have what? More rewards. I mean, when we stand up there, and if we didn't serve him, and everything goes boom, and you go, I'm okay, I'm fine. Yeah, just step on in the room to your right. What about my rewards? There are no rewards, or maybe a few rewards. What do you want to hear him say? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want. Well, how in the world do we get rewards? How does this happen? I think, let me see. I think the next page, I don't know if we deal with it. Yeah. Two aspects concerning rewards. Let me ask these two questions. One is, how do we gain? Number one is, how do we gain rewards? I think we've got this thing. How do we gain it? 1 Corinthians 9. Just turn back just a couple of pages back again to 1 Corinthians and to 1 Corinthians 9. And I want you to see what Paul says. Now, I've actually had people tell me that it's selfish to get rewards. Because you mean you're going to serve God and then he's going to give you rewards. Well, that's a selfish thing to do. Well, what does God tell us to do? He tells us to run the race so that we can get what? The prize. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Paul writes in verse 24. He said, do you not know that all who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may what? Win. What does Paul say? He's talking about the race of life is what he's talking about. He's not really talking about a real race. He's using that as an analogy. He's talking about the race of the Christian life where you run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, where you walk worthy of the calling which you've been called, where you live godly for Christ. He says, run in such a way so that you may do what? You may get what? The prize. He says, everybody who competes in a game, they exercise self-control. They get for just a perishable wreath, but we get what kind of wreath? What does it say? an imperishable wreath. See, when it's tested by fire, what's going to happen to it? It's going to keep on going. And then he says right at the very end, look at verse 27, I discipline my body, I make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself might not be disqualified. Disqualified from what? From getting what? Rewards. Paul says, I'm going to live in such a way that I get rewards, that I hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, that I do what I'm supposed to do. Now, rewards are sort of a hard subject to figure out because the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot about it. Question number two is, what are the rewards called? Oftentimes they're called crowns. And I have for you, if there's four crowns that we have listed there, but if you flip the page up, the very next page, page six, I've actually got crowns written there for you. And it says the rewards of the believers. And there are four crowns, the crown of joy, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. Now, you want to fill those in, you can, but I think there they are right there. If you want to, where it says four crowns, A, B, C, and D, you can write the crown of joy, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. Page six actually has those, and it even has the verses in which we deal with those. Let me give you a little bit of background on these, where it says the crown of joy. The best that we can tell that is rewards for sharing your faith. When you're faithful to share your faith. In 1 Thessalonians, he talks about it. And let me just read this to you very, very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing. He says, "For who is our hope, our joy, our crown of exaltation? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus coming, for you are our glory and our joy." He's saying, I'm going to get, when he's talking about the Thessalonians, he's talking about how he led them to Christ. And he says, you're our joy, you're our crown. And most believe that there are going to be rewards when you stand before Christ and that you had led people to Christ or that you had shared your faith. That's what that is. Most people call it the crown of joy. There is a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you notice this, Paul talks about this in his life. If you want to flip over there, we're going to go through these very quickly just because of time. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. For the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The best that we can tell, the crown of righteousness is rewards given to you for faithful living, for living for God and doing what he wants you to do. Now, when you stand before Christ and all of the things that you've done in the power of the Holy Spirit for his glory, they're going to be rewards. I don't understand exactly how they'll be, but we see at least four places in the Bible that he says this is a crown of joy, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, and a crown of glory. The crown of joy seems to be something tied in with sharing your faith. The crown of righteousness seems to tie in with being a faithful person, running the race, living your life for the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a third one, which is the crown of life, which is James chapter 1, and we talk about that. Most of us have read the book of James, studied that. In James chapter 1, he talks about that and says, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trials, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Now, the best we can tell is the crown of life comes that when you trust God in the trials of life, you'll be rewarded for trusting him. We saw in church this morning, when here is Absalom trying to go after Amnon and kill him, what he should have done is trusted God to handle it. And when you trust God in the circumstances and trials and ups and downs of life, it appears that there will be reward. And then 1 Peter 5, and you don't have to turn there, but it talks about shepherding the flock, and there is the crown of glory. Now, to shepherd the flock, a lot of people say, well, that's the pastor's role. The pastor has a role in shepherding the flock, but every one of us shepherd one another. Every one of us equip each other to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Every one of us use our gifts, talents, and abilities to edify the body. So in a sense, we're all to shepherd each other, and when we help each other grow and help each other do all of these things, we'll be rewarded. So one of these days, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You do not want to be ashamed at his coming. And whatever rewards he gives us, whether these crown of joy and righteousness or life and glory, or whether it's something else, or ever how it fits together, the Bible just tells us that we're going to be rewarded for the things that we've done in this body. On page 7 at the top, it says, we want to hear Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant. So let me just think for just a second, stop for a second and think through this. When Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, he's going to come and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be changed, just like that. He also tells us that he's going to give us a body that will never decay when he comes this time in the clouds. And then, the best that we can tell, we will be rewarded. I hope and pray that right now you're thinking about rewards. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that we've talked about this before. But you live your life here, and let's just pretend your life here is the dot. And, you know, you've seen me say this before. Here's this dot. But eternity just goes on and on and on and on. And the amazing thing is that how you live here and your service here and the rewards you're going to get, the rewards that you're going to get are going to be based on this whole thing that goes on and on and on and on. So how you served him now will have a bearing on how you serve him for all eternity. Some people say, well, this life is all there is, or I'm really going after it this life. No, listen, this is just this is nothing compared. This is the dot compared to the line that goes on forever. So how you lived for God now, how you serve Jesus Christ now, will affect all eternity as far as your place of service. Now, we already know that when Jesus Christ comes as a king the second time, and we're going to get that next week, that he'll set up a kingdom and we will rule and what? Reign with him. You're going to serve with him. What is going to be the basis of your service? It's going to be how you served him now. It's going to be based on your rewards. And then after that kingdom is over and he makes a new heavens and a new earth and he makes an eternal state and we're going to live with him for all eternity, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. In chapter 22, it literally says, and you will serve him what? Forever. What's going to be the basis of your service for all eternity? How you served him here. See, there's an idea that when you get to heaven, everybody's the same. Everybody's not the same. Heaven's really not a heaven anyway. Heaven is going to be on the earth, a new heavens and a new earth for all eternity. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, and just like in the parables that he told about this, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, inherit these 10 cities I have for you. I think service for Jesus Christ and the rewards are going to be places of ministry and service for all eternity. Now, there's no doubt that going to, you know, being with Jesus Christ forever is being with Jesus Christ forever, and that's great, but there are going to be some people who have a greater position of responsibility, a greater position. We already know the book of Hebrews talks about the metakoi, which means those who are in the partnership with Christ, and it doesn't say everybody's got the partnership with Christ. The faithful ones have the partnership with Christ. So if we want to spend eternity in a close partnership with Christ, being close to him for all eternity and serving that way, what are you going to have to do? Serve him now. See, what you do now matters. Has no part of your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny comes simply by faith in Jesus Christ, and you're a child of God forever. But your place of service and rewards and positions and all of that for all eternity is based on whether you live for him or not. That's why Paul says, run the race so you get the prize. That's why he says, get this crown, do this, do this. So once again, standing before Jesus Christ has no bearing on your eternal destiny and your salvation, but it has bearing on your rewards and service. Okay, was that the first bell? It was. Let's go. Questions, comments, anything. This is where. Yeah, Gene.
Jay, what's the reference for well done?
I didn't even write it down, but it's the Matthew passage. Anybody remember it? I can't remember. It's either Matthew 14. It's where one of the parables, you know, the parable of the talents, and I just didn't write it down.
So,
yeah.
We help the little old lady across the street because we want to, and it's the right thing to do. Is it still worthless?
Is it
still worthless?
Well, I think if you help the little old lady across the street because you want to, why are you wanting to help a little old lady across the street? Why is it the right thing to do? But why is it right to do that? Why isn't it just to say, I don't care about anybody else. I don't care if a little old lady gets across the street. Why should I even care if the little old lady gets across the street? Because you live for Jesus Christ and you're his representative. And you say, oh, look, look, come here. Let me help you cross the street. Let me tell you what I did one time. I was at the baseball game and we were playing Nebraska in baseball and they beat us and we were leaving. We were mad and not mad, mad. We were going, boy, we should have won. And there was a Nebraska little old lady coming down the steps and she was having problems coming down the steps. And I went up and said, here, let me help you get down these steps. And I thought, I don't care whether she's from Nebraska or not. I love Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just lie. I'm just, you know, that's a true story. But I think that we do things, why? Because we belong to Jesus and we love him. And that's why they're right. Some things are right. that things are right because he said it's right. And if he said it's right, I say, I want to live by what you said. That's bringing glory to Jesus. I think it's a combination. Sometimes you do things and you do them because you have disciplined yourself to be a godly person. And it is a godly person who says, come here, let me help you. Not because you're all of a sudden saying, I better do this for Jesus. The reason you're doing that is because you have trained yourself to live according to the scripture and do the right thing for Jesus Christ.
Oh,
right. There's no doubt that the rewards don't mean that they're just future rewards. There is blessing and rewards for helping people and doing things. And anything you do, there is. But there is rewards laid up for you when you stand before your Savior.
It's been double rewards if she'd been promoting you.
Yeah, been triple rewards. Rick. I can't hear you. Okay, Rick asked the question is, if we have unconfessed sin, yeah, if you're unconfessed sin, what happens? You're out of fellowship. You're out of fellowship. Can you serve him? No, you can't. Huh? Right. Well, 1 John 1:9. And he's saying that if you have unconfessed sin, if you're out of fellowship with God, are you able to serve God? I think the answer is no. That's why he says, deal with your sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you back into fellowship, and you can serve. So, Rick, I would say that if you are living and if you've got sin in your life and you've not dealt with that sin in your life, you're out of fellowship with God. You're not being controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I don't think you're earning rewards there, you might say it. Especially not double rewards. Right. Okay. Yes, one more. And I know the bell's ringing, but JJ. No, I don't think so. He said in that one of the passages that said, you know, if you give even a cup of cold water to somebody, you will in no way lose your reward. I think that when you do something and you're going to be rewarded, you're going to get that reward. You're not going to lose that reward, no matter if the whole rest of your life you don't get any rewards. I think any reward you ever do, anything you ever do for the glory of God, it will remain and you will be rewarded.
Didn't we just read a passage where it says if your works are burned up, you lose rewards?
Yeah, those are the wood, hay, and straw, the things that weren't the good things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Was that the second bell already?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the whole issue of rewards. And thank you, Lord, that one day when Jesus comes, we'll be changed. In a moment, a twinkle of an eye, we'll have a new body. And one day we'll stand before you. And, Lord, what we want to hear you say is, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.